I'll start with a quick synopsis of our last performance, like I always do. In reviewing the tape, and not only as a staff with the guys, a couple things were evident, obviously, regarding the game. The turnovers were big, our ability to maintain possession of the ball, our ability to get the ball defensively, and not only to get the ball, but to get the ball in the spaces or the time of the game in which we did situational football in the red zone. Taking points off the board was significant. Obviously, maintaining possession of the ball was significant to our efforts. I thought the situational splash plays contributed to our efforts. Not only those red zone interceptions, but a touchdown offensively occurred in short yardage. I thought we converted some third downs that were pivotal in the game. The third down and 15 screen to Antonio Brown, we were able to get 16 yards on our first field goal drive. Those type of plays, situational splash plays, aided us in securing the victory. But again, like always, the performance was far from perfect. We did the same things that we always do. On Monday, we acknowledged and reviewed some of the areas where we fell short and in an effort to improve in our next time out. And obviously, it's coming quickly here at home, Heinz Field versus the Baltimore Ravens. On an injury note, I'll address a couple things. Talked about Levi Brown's tricep after the game. That was confirmed. He's been placed on IR. Will have surgery. David Johnson, his wrist needs surgery as well. He's been placed on IR. Brett Kiesel, what we believe was a rib injury is really kind of muscular in nature in that area. He'll experience some discomfort throughout the week, but we expect him to perk up and be ready to go. Lamar Woodley, he's got a little inflammation on his right knee that may limit him somewhat at the early portions of the week, but should not limit his participation at all in the football game. And some normal bumps and bruises associated with playing. A couple of the other guys that have been on various lists of any kind. We're going to look at Sean Spence participating in some form or fashion this week, probably in a limited capacity, individual drills and so forth. Matt Spaeth is going to continue to stay where he is, and we'll continue to update you guys on kind of a week-by-week basis in regards to that. Obviously, we got a window to evaluate Sean, but more than anything, it's about getting him on the field first and just watching him in a limited capacity to see where he is before we make any plans about his participation or how we move forward. In regards to Baltimore, obviously, we're very familiar with those guys. You see some things on tape that look very familiar. You see some things on tape that are new, like in all seasons. Obviously, they're the defending world champs and get to wear that. Joe Flacco is still doing Joe Flacco type things. He's making quick decisions, spreading the ball around to some familiar targets. Torrey Smith is still an upfield target of his. He's averaging over 20 yards a catch for the season. But he's added to that a young guy named Marlon Brown, who's big and tough to get on the ground, a young rookie who's providing some splash plays for him. You know, we got to tackle the catch extremely quickly with this guy. I think once he gets going, he's a big-bodied guy. He's going to be tough for secondary people to get on the ground. At least that's what the tape tells us. He's got Dixon at tight end, who's been a part of the tight end passing game for a number of years. Got a good rapport with him, but has also added to that Dallas Clark, and I see Dallas Clark doing Dallas Clark-like things. I mean, this is a guy that's good at working in the middle of the field and in space, and obviously made a critical vertical play late in the football game for those guys this past weekend. I'm sure they're excited about adding him to the fold. Some other guys, you know, Jacoby Jones is coming back from injury. He's provided splash plays for him, not only in offense but in special teams. I'm sure they're excited about getting him back. And obviously, the running backs are a big part of what they do in the passing game, be it flares or screens or checkdowns. Ray Rice is a guy for all situations. You got to be prepared not only to defend what he does in the running game, but how they utilize him in the passing game as a primary and really as a useful outlet. Because he's got big play capabilities once he gets a short pass in his hands. And his resume has proven that. They got some new people up front, combined with some old. Obviously, Michael Orr has been around. Yonda's been around. Gradkowski's a new center for him. Has been doing a great job, obviously. He's returning home. This football game is going to be a big game for him, I'm sure. They picked up Monroe. A tackle from Jacksonville is a savvy veteran player. Obviously, Brian McKinney is still in the mix there. So a lot of familiar faces, a lot of new components. You know, schematics are very similar, but some new people to get familiarized with there. If you look at them defensively, I think, you know, all defensive discussions start with the protection of our quarterback on the perimeter, particularly versus Suggs and Dumervil. I think collectively those guys have 12 sacks in six games. They've been very disruptive in the manner in which both guys have been disruptive throughout their career. It's doubly important that we be on the screws in preparation for them this week because, you know, they've joined forces and they're on the same defense, and it provides some unique challenges schematically, who and how you help and so forth, and some of the poisons that you pick situationally. It's going to be a big challenge for us this week. It's been a big challenge for everyone that's played them to this point this year. But you couple that with a solid and deep front led by Nada. Obviously, Arthur Jones has been around for a number of years. They've acquired Chris Canty in free agency, Spears. They know what they're doing. They got some guys. They play a number of people. And they got a multitude of fronts like the New York Jets do schematically. We got a lot to work on this week. And so with that, we're preparing with an edge, obviously, with a certain sense of urgency, not only because it's an opportunity to perform in front of our fans versus division opponent and the defending world champs, but it's an opportunity to build upon a performance last week that was a winning one. We recognize the significance and the importance of that under the circumstances as we push into this week. On a special teams note, obviously they've been solid in teams over a number of years, and that continues here in 13. They're big play capable in the return game, both punts and kicks. Jacoby Jones has a resume that speaks to that, but obviously Tandon Doss has provided some splash for him this year as well. Ladarius Webb, a solid corner for him, is kick return capable too. That's one thing that they have. They don't have a shortage of return options. And speaking of Webb, obviously he puts together a solid corner tandem along with Jimmy Smith that's played for them for a number of years. So, you know, we got a lot of challenges from a preparation standpoint. Obviously our focus is and will continue to be us and how we perform and how we prepare to give ourselves the very best chance to play A-ball. We believe that A-ball is enough to win under any circumstances. So that's what's guiding us as we prepare for this one. I'll be happy to address any questions you might have.
Mike, you decided not to sign a tackle for Levi. Could you just explain why?
You know, we just decided to strengthen ourselves in the very best way possible. Richard Gordon was a tight end that had similar attributes as David in that he's a strong run performer, and he's healthy and ready to go and performed in a workout for us yesterday. And Isaiah Green is a useful corner/special teams player that we're very familiar with, and maybe he could help us this weekend. So the emphasis was about helping ourselves this weekend and not necessarily numbers. Obviously, numbers are important, but we're not married to numbers. When we have an opportunity to add a body, that's what we're doing. We're adding someone that we feel like can help our efforts from a global standpoint, not necessarily from a positional standpoint.
Is it possible that Sean Spence could play this year?
Yes, it is. We'll see how he performs in practice and kind of let that be our guide in terms of how we progress. Obviously, at least initially, he'll be working in a limited capacity on look teams probably more than not.
Mike, it looked like the running game a little better this week, but Le'Veon Bell maybe missed some holes, particularly in the first half. Did you see that on film yourself? And
I did not. I thought he ran very well. I thought the Jets provide some challenges in terms of run defense. They're number two in the league, and they lived up to that. They got some talented people up front. There weren't many holes. I thought he did a great job of pick and vision and putting the ball where it was supposed to be and running with the type of demeanor that we desire. Obviously, the numbers don't exhibit great success. But I thought it allowed us to have the type of balance necessary to complete splash plays like the third and one play action to Emmanuel Sanders and so forth. We're going to continue to be a group in evolution there. We don't run away from that, but I was not displeased with Le'Veon Bell and his performance in any way this past weekend.
Mike, Ben apparently said on his radio show today that there won't be any more of these flying somersault celebrations that we've seen the past couple weeks. Is that the case?
That would be very correct.
And that comes down from you?
Absolutely.
Why don't you like them?
Because it's a potential for injury. It's silly.
Mike, two specific areas, especially areas defensively at the end of the half. You've allowed, I think, field goals 4 or 5 times. Is that something you're going to work on a lot this week? And also red zone offense. Can you speak
you know, we're going to work on it, but not in response to performance. You know, we believe that we're capable of better. You know, we just need to continue to evolve in those situations, like in all situations. And we're going to do so this week and allot the normal amount of time to those areas. Yes, we need to perform better at the end of the halves defensively and in the red area offensively. I think we kicked 4 field goals in the game, and that's potentially a recipe for disaster in the NFL. But I also acknowledge that the Jets play pretty stingy red zone defense, and that's the nature of matchups when you step in the stadium. So I don't paint with a broad brush in terms of evaluating how we perform. I acknowledge that in some circumstances our opponents and how they perform is an element of the equation, and the Jets defense was a stiff one, and obviously they performed well at the end of the half and don't want to take that away from them.
On that field goal drive at the end of the first half, would you like to see your secondary play the sidelines a little bit more than they did?
Absolutely. You know, inbounds tackles, particularly after they were out of timeouts, were critical. All we needed was one in any of those plays, and I think there was 4 or 5 plays. All that's required is one inbounds tackle, and we're out of the half. We weren't able to get that done, but again, I want to give a little credit to those guys. I thought they executed well, talking about Geno Smith and the New York Jets.
Mike, you mentioned Baltimore's special teams in their return game. You haven't had that big return yet. How much do you place on the returner? How much do you place on the other 10 guys on the field with him?
You know, it's an 11-man job in our return game, and, you know, we talk openly about it. We believe we have dynamic return people. We have yet to put together a dynamic return. So we're going to continue to work at it, and hopefully it'll show sooner rather than later.
Mike, given the amount of injuries to your O-line the last couple of seasons, why hasn't there been more thought to dress maybe an extra guy on a game day?
We make those decisions on a week-to-week basis based on the health of the men that we intend to utilize in the football game, and we do it exclusively in regards to that, not based on the potential of someone randomly getting hurt in warm-ups and so forth. That's just the nature of the football. People get hurt from time to time. You make necessary adjustments, and you move on.
Mike, should there be you have to designate your inactives, what, an hour before the game, roughly? If something like that happens, should there be a rule where you can replace a guy that gets hurt in warm-ups?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule. Unfortunately, freakish things happen from time to time, and we can't make new rules every time something freakishly happens or unfortunate happens. A guy sustained a significant injury in a pregame warm-up. I've been in this league a number of years. It's probably only the second time I've ever been around that.
Mike, on the offensive line with the injuries and some of the performance issues, David DeCastro's flown under the radar. Can you talk about his performance to date?
He's been solid.
Mike, Ryan Clark was on ESPN National Television last week, sort of giving opinions on your team, including one on Ben. How do you feel about one of your players doing that?
You know, these guys are professional, and to cooperate with the media is not only something that I think they're capable of doing, it's something that they're required to do. Some do it better than others. Ryan is a very seasoned communicator, particularly with the media. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about those interactions. I assume that they're going to say appropriate things and represent us in the manner in which we need to be represented professionally. I focus on the variables that matter, obviously the preparation and play of the men on the football team, not what they do in their off hours.
Mike, do you think that what you did with the locker room issues last week at all sent the message you wanted to send? And in any way, did that correlate with the victory on Sunday?
I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. We're going to continue to turn over whatever stones necessary to produce the outcome similar to last week.
Any of those changes be reversed or any rights given back?
I hadn't thought a lot about it, to be honest with you. Been really focused on looking at Baltimore Raven tape.
Is Marcus Wheaton going to be available this week?
He is not. He is not. He's still recovering from his hand surgery.
Coach, has Vince Williams earning the spot, ever spotted inside linebacker up to this point?
He's been playing it the last several weeks. He started exclusively at the other spot and has performed there the last several weeks, so nothing's changed in that regard.
Any plan to replace David Johnson, personnel-wise?
We acquired Richard Gordon, who I was just referring to with Jerry, that has some similar skills. Obviously, we need to get to know him and evaluate his ability to learn. But we have 3 tight ends besides him already on our roster. They were able to participate in the game and finish the game out. So we're not short on options in that regard.
You mentioned Baltimore's defensive line and their abilities. Are you concerned with the amount of hits Ben has been taking lately, and how are you guys going to address that on the O-line?
You know, I'm concerned, but no more concerned than I usually am. Quarterbacks get hit. That's the nature of the game. That's why people rush people. That's why they employ people like Suggs and Doomerville. It's our job to minimize that, and we're working to do it this week.
Probably largely on the same side, and if so, that's Suggs on Beecham's side.
Primarily, Suggs is a defensive right side player, and Doomerville is a defensive left side player, but they can and will flop from time to time. They're going to make sure that both tackles are prepared to block both men. That's shown up in just about every tape you look at.
Did a pretty admirable job last time out against Suggs, didn't he?
I hadn't reviewed the tape yet. You're talking about from past years?
Last year?
Yeah, I ain't got the last year's tape yet. I'm still looking at 013.
What have you seen out of them? They've got three losses so far this season. They have a very talented team, but why have they seemed to struggle in some of the
You know, I think they're better equipped to answer that than I. I'm just evaluating them in terms of what they're potentially capable of and what we need to be prepared to combat in all three phases. And obviously, they're a talented, capable team led by superstars in all three phases. And they're defending world champs, so they don't need an endorsement from me.
Mike, do you think that the rivalry's lost a little bit of luster because both teams have struggled this far?
Not from our perspective, and I'm sure not from theirs. You know, if anything, it's probably some, you know, outside standpoint, but, you know, that can't affect how we prepare, and I'm sure it's not going to affect how they prepare. This is going to be Steelers-Ravens on Sunday, I'm sure.
Mike, is the offensive line turnover the reason you haven't run much outside zone, or is there another reason for that?
Not only the offensive line turnover, but the running back turnover, the nature of the personnel that we've had. We're gonna lean to our strengths and work to minimize our weaknesses. Outside zone is something we spent a lot of time working on in the offseason. But, you know, we had Marquise Pouncey in the offseason, and that's just the reality of NFL. You know, we're going to lean to the strength of the men that we work with. If it means that we're not going to run things that we've executed and spent time executing, then so be it. We're going to live and work in the now with the people that we have and work to their strengths and work to minimize our collective weaknesses that we're dealing with in the present time.